I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You may know him as the Wonder Dog.
He is a true horse.
But to us, he's just good old Uncle Hud. It's time for Royals broadcaster and friend of the show, Rex Hudler, to join the drive.
Back in on the drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, brand new Odyssey app. It is an honor. It is a pleasure to be joined by our next guest. He is one of my favorite people in the world. He is Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. Hud, how's it going today?
Hey, C-Dot, what a question, man. I'm just getting in my car to head to the ballpark, and it's so beautiful outside. I love the seasons here in Kansas City. I love talking about the Royals baseball organization, and I really enjoy sharing with you and your many fans out there.
Hud, so the last time you were on, we talked about optimism, and I wanted you to pump Kansas City up. They have not won a game since our conversation. What's going on right now, Hud?
C-Dot, how did that go, huh? How was that motivational talk?
It didn't work, hey, obviously.
No. Hey, but you know what, though? I'm always going to tell the truth. Whatever I see, I'm going to share, and I'm going to share it in a way that's not degrading to players. It's not, I'll never forget how hard the game was to play. Now, I went out yesterday, which was really a cool day. Jeff Montgomery and I got to go on the field at the K and do some demos, and that's for, you know, that they'll put in the can for later this summer. And I remember going, and I hadn't had a chance to be on the field like that in a long time. And when Jeff Montgomery towed the slab, I backed off the mound, and he went right to his old toe hold. And he goes, Hud, you know what? I had more appearances on this rubber than anybody in Royals history. And I was like, whoa, I was in awe. Yeah, just to see Monty on the slab. And he went right to the third base side of the rubber, right where he's used to. And then I got to go to home plate and stand at the plate, and I stood right where I used to stand. And I just remembered how hard it was. And at 60 years old now, I'm like, wow, I'm so removed from playing, but I'll never forget how hard it is. And then being in slumps like this, I'll never forget that either, how painful it was. But, you know, I shared with you before how I would wash the results of that night down the drain, and I would go home and be thankful. And I would eliminate all the mental distractions, stay away from, you know, no offense, the talk shows, the television, or any kind of print material. I would not let myself read any of that because I didn't want to get carried away. I didn't want that negative feeling as I walked to the ballpark. And when you go inside the ballpark and you walk in those clubhouse doors, you have a decision to make. What are my teammates going to see today? Are they going to see somebody that's pouting, that's moping, that maybe feel sorry for themselves? Or am I going to walk in there like we're in first place and I'm hitting 300? Because there's a big difference when a player decides what he's going to look like when he walks in that clubhouse. And when you have a team full of guys that have been to the World Series like the Royals have, I know that they are walking in there with their head up and their shoulders back. There's nobody pouting and no one feeling sorry. Mike Matheny is not getting sympathy cards from anybody else in the league. Okay, this is a man's league, and it's a man's game, and it's tough. And when you get beat, people step on your neck in this business, and that's just the way it is. What goes around comes around. The Royals will get hot again. They've had the second most hard hit outs in all of baseball. I mean, it's not like this is a bad team. This is a good team that's going through a spell that they wish they never had gone through, but it's just too late. You can't look back. Continue to look forward and be thankful for the opportunity to play big league baseball. Keep things simple. Keep it simple. Encourage your teammates. And, you know, it may sound yucky, and there might be some people out there going, really? Come on, Hud. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the business of baseball every single day, showing up after you get beat. What's it like? You know, and listening to Matheny today, he talked about, man, it would be so tough being a football player or being a head coach of football when you got to wait a whole week after you got your lunch handed to you. That would be so difficult. I agree with that. But in baseball, you can turn the page quickly and move on. And today, hand that ball to Danny Duffy, and let's see how tough he can be and tame the damn Tigers.
Right now, we're talking to Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster. Hud, you talked to me a lot about over the years about humble pie. I would imagine playing baseball for as long as you've had a humble pie losing streak like the run that the Royals are going through. What's the longest losing streak that you guys went through when you were a player, and what kind of things did guys do to get themselves out of that funk?
Well, we've had 10 gamers. I've had 15 gamers. I can't really tell you the length of any one, but after 21 years, it's a long time, C-Dot. But experiencing them, you just have to take it with a grain of salt. You just have to take it, man, and like it. Even though you don't like it, you don't have to like it. Do something about it. Show up early. Get in that cage. Work on some extra things. You work your way through those things, and you really do have to control your mindset. You cannot let negatives enter and stay in there. Now, we're only human. Our minds are going to say, wow, that was terrible. I stunk on that one. But you got to move that out real quick. And you hear that these guys got to have amnesia. They do. You've got to forget and move on. But what was nice about last night, at least, man, they erupted in one inning and scored 7 runs. I mean, actually not in one inning, but in 2 innings. I mean, that was really a positive note to end on if you had to be walked off. You know, that was a kind of a kick in the gut, if you want. But, you know, you just have to stand up and be accountable and be thankful and move forward and battle in each at-bat, compete in each at-bat, C-Dot, and eventually it will end and the Royals will win again, and they'll get on a streak, and they'll run off 3, 4, 5 in a row here coming up.
Hud, I want to get back to the Royals, but this just popped in my head. So I watched the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 a week ago. And you actually told me one of my favorite Bo Jackson stories at Tiger Stadium. Can you please tell me that story again?
Oh, it wasn't at Tiger Stadium. It was at Angel Stadium.
Okay, my bad.
Where he threw the ball to the top of the stadium?
That one.
Oh, man. You know, well, this was in 1994. This was Bo Jackson's last season as a professional, as a Major League Baseball player, and he was signed with the Angels. And he had his brand new hip and everything. And he had trained like he never trained before because, you know, of the hip. He was kind of a Herschel Walker guy. He was the sit-ups and push-ups kind of guy. He was all natural. You know, he never really spent a lot of time in a gym. He just had a gifted body. And so he was incredibly strong. We know that. We were sitting around stretching, and there was an earthquake a year before or earlier than 94, and they were fixing the top of Angel Stadium before they renovated it. This was back in the sports, and they were, you know, like the 70s, 80s, they were all structured. The ballpark, the seats were all around. Anyway, they were doing some scoreboard work at the very top, and we're all stretching as a team, and there was a welder up there, and he wrote with a spray can on one of the steel beams, Bo Knows Iron, because this was when Bo knows everything. This is when all those commercials from Nike were coming out, and so we were giving Bo a hard time, and we were saying, Bo, that dude says you don't have any iron. You know, iron's another word for money in baseball. Glue, whale glue, that's what players would call money. And so Harold Reynolds was messing with Bo, saying, man, you don't have any glue is what he says. You don't have any iron. And so Bo, the guy was waving. And Bo walked over there without it throwing any warm-up tosses. He walked over to the warning track, and he had two baseballs, and he threw one up all the way to the top of the stadium without taking crow hop or anything. He just all arm, and it hit the guy right in the hand, and he dropped it. And it, we were like, wow, you know what? That looks like that's a long way. Well, how, what the heck? And then he threw another one, and it just went right by him. So not only was he strong enough to get it to the top of the stadium, the roof, but it also he also threw the second one right to the guy, too, and he missed him. And so now Chuck Finley, we're getting ready to warm up and start playing catches after we did our stretching. And Chuck Finley goes, yeah, he's a big, strong left-handed pitcher. He goes, I'll show you. And so he threw probably 4, 5, 7, or 8, 9, 10 warm-up tosses, so he got good and loose. And he walked over to the warning track, and he tried to heave one up to the top of the roof, and it didn't even make the second deck. And when we saw that, that's when we all had perspective of, what did we just see? He didn't warm up one throw. He flat-footed, threw a ball all the way to the top twice, and Chuck Finley couldn't get it to the second deck. And so there was some amazing things that Bo Jackson did as a player, but one of the best was when he wanted to steal a base with his new hip. The first, so he stole a base, he picks up the bag and walks off with the base in his hand in the game. It was pretty impressive, C-Dot. I love Bo Jackson. I'll never forget the opportunities that we had to be close and to be teammates and to have fun together. I have so many Bo Jackson stories from that half a season that we talked him into retiring because we were afraid that his new hip would break off his femur and he would bleed to death. And we just didn't want that to happen. So we talked him into retiring and he left because C-Dot, the hip he had at that time in 94, those are the same hips they were given 80-year-old men and women. And so, you know, there wasn't any kind of new technology or anything. This thing was it was kind of new, but to be able to do what he was doing, they had a special apparatus that if he broke, you know, his femur, he could have bled to death. So, you know, it was time to go. We talked him into it. But, man, what a character, what a specimen, and what a teammate.
Hud, last question here. You do always shoot it straight whenever you come on, and you always give us expert analysis and opinion. What's going on with the Royals? Because it is very startling to see a team go from as good as they were, 14-7, top five team in baseball, to now losing 8 consecutive games and losing a game in which they battled and fought hard yesterday against the Tigers. But the Tigers are the worst team in baseball. What do you think is going on with this team?
Oh, well, they have a bad hitting virus right now, and I know that the word virus is not a good word this time, but, you know, that's all I can explain. They haven't been able to knock any runs in. They can't get a run in scoring position. When your offense can't score runs, you're in trouble. And then when your bullpen's giving it up and your starting pitching's going 1 or 2 innings, you know, it all seems to be going wrong at the same time. And, you know, that's a bad thing when everything's going wrong at the same time. But, you know, they have the capability to come out of it. They will. They're way too talented. There's way too many veteran players in there. This is not a young team. I would expect them to pull their bootstraps up and continue to go out there and attack each one. Salvador Perez, in his last at-bat before he got taken out last night, he swung it 4 pitches over his head. They weren't even close to the zone. I mean, guys are pressing way too much. They're trying to do way too much. Go up there and compete in that bat. Take a walk if you have to. Let the next guy do it. Just what they were doing earlier in the season. Benintendi looks good. Dozier kind of went south a little bit. I see him kind of frustrated. He never throws his equipment, and he did a little bit. You know, he's only human. But they're going to have to shorten up their swings and put the ball in play. And you know what? You can't go up there and try to hit a doinker, C-Dot. That's what I call a weekly hit ball. But that's what they're going to have to do. How about spreading a few doinkers together and put them together and get that running game going. Get some guys on base. They have the best base dealers so far, even without Mondesi. So let's get back to their small ball and play a little bit of ball. And, you know, let Solaris hit them out of the park or a couple guys that have that ability, let them try to do that. But don't try every time up there. And I think things are going to work out. Duffy has a chance to stop this right now. And he can do that. The Tigers, they're not that a good hitting team, but they are major league hitters and players. But Duffy has a chance to go up there and stop it. And that's what he can do, shut them down and get some runs. And I predict that the Royals will win the game tonight.
That is Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster, joining us on the show today. Hud, always good talking to you, man. Thanks a lot for hopping on with us today.
Z-Dot, thanks for letting me tell stories, man. I really appreciate you, buddy. Have a good week.
Absolutely. You too. That is our guy, Rex Hudler, joining us on the show today. We'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs coming up in a little bit, but I'm a big believer that very rarely is one thing the cause for any major problem. Like, I know we love to pinpoint and find what's wrong, but right now the answer with the Royals is a very simple everything. Like, it's hard to disagree with what Rex Hudler just said about the offense and kind of catching the bug, and they just got to get things going and they got to find a rhythm offensively that they don't have right now. But the biggest problem with this team is the starting pitching. So Alec Lewis of The Athletic does really good work. He put this out earlier today. The average Royals starter length. So their starter, the average outing for the Royals starter is 3 2/3 inning. It's not good enough. Now, Rob, I know you're going to chime in with some how starters are devalued and leverage innings. The Royals bullpen, and no bullpen is good enough to carry a rotation that can't give you consistently 5 innings. And this team is giving you on average 3 2/3. And that's factoring in Duffy, who hasn't really gone deep in the games. But if you take away Duffy, their average is under 3 innings a game. So right now, you go out there and you're asking this bullpen to give you 5 1/3 innings every single night? Like, you're putting an unimaginable stress on the bullpen that eventually that's going to break. And I think it's breaking right now. So there's a lot of different things wrong with the Kansas City Royals. Like, you don't lose 9 games in a row and there only be one thing that is the cause of why you were in this despair. But the answer to me seems very simple. They're not getting good enough starting pitching to really contend and really give yourself a chance to win at the level in which they were winning early in the season. When they were only doing 4-man rotation and 2 of those starters were pitching fantastic. So Junis was really good. Duffy was really good early. Singer had a couple of good starts. You can manage it because they had so many off days early on. You're not getting those off days, and this rotation has really started to get exposed. And if you want to take it one step further, right now, what's failing with the Royals is also Dayton Moore's biggest weakness. Dayton has a lot of strength, is A-plus at building a bullpen, A-plus in building camaraderie, great at managing personalities, great at being the face of an organization. The Royals starting pitching has always been a question. It has always been the Achilles heel for this team, always been a weakness. So it's not surprising when this season is starting to go up in flames, what's at the center of it? The one thing that the Royals don't do well, which is develop starting pitching. Which, if you want to play doom and gloom and look toward the future, if their starting pitching is not good, then all of this is for nothing. This entire rebuild is based on the principle that their starting pitching can be elite. The resources that they've spent outside of Bobby Witt Jr. are high-end pitching prospects. Who looks great right now? Who's a guy that you're willing to bet your future on? Who's a guy that you're willing to push the chips in the middle of the table and publicly show confidence in right now? For the long term, Duffy's great in the here and now. Junis going to the bullpen, but as a starter, was great in the here and now. We're talking about building a foundation that you can build on for the future. So again, there's a lot of things wrong with the Royals. I'm not putting it all on the right arms of 4 or 5 individuals because Soler's been terrible, Dozier's been terrible, Lopez has been terrible. Their offense has not carried their own weight over the last 9 games. But the average Royals starting pitching length is 3 2/3. Not 5 2/3. Not giving you 6 strong innings. They're not even giving you 4 innings. They're giving you 3 2/3 of mediocre to bad. And that's just not something that you can sustain over a full 162.
You're 100% correct. And I don't want to be the pessimist in the room, but we were told, and we were probably part of the problem, with all these young arms, all these logs on the fire, when they all come up, it's going to be great for the Royals. They have so many they can trade some, and Dayton Moore has always missed with pitchers, but suddenly he has a plethora of them they can't miss. And the same issue that Dayton Moore has had in his entire tenure in Kansas City is now hamstrung this team. And I know HUD said they just need to string some hits together and get some offense going. No. They scored 7 last night. They had plenty of offense. Offense, yes, that needs to come back, but the offense on the whole this year has been fine. It's the starting pitching. And what's doubly concerning about the starting pitching is not just the number you said, which is 3 2/3 inning on average, which is horrendous. Even in this era, which I'm a fan of, which is, you know, high leverage, don't let a guy go through the order twice and all those things. 3 2/3, even by that metric, is awful. But the guys that are pitching in the rotation now are guys we believe are going to be in the rotation going forward. Not just part of the rebuild and the step forward, but as part of this organization being good again. Brady Singer, he was a first-round pick. He was top 10 pick. Everyone believes he's part of the greatness that's going to be in the Royals' future. He's been pretty mediocre this year. Daniel Lynch, I know it's just 2 starts. And I know that Vern said he was tipping his pitches, and I believe that's correctable.
One of those starts you can light on fire.
He was horrible in that start. Not even bad, horrible. Brad Keller, who we all believed could be a go-to guy in this rotation, a stalwart, a horse, the guy, the slump buster. He's been awful this season. Those are 3 guys you don't only have in your rotation for this season. That's the future of the organization. And to your point about Dayton can always build a bullpen, and he can, but the starting pitching's been so bad on this team that the bullpen's been exposed. I think it's got 3 or 4, maybe 3.5, really good high-leverage guys with Barlow, Zimmer when he's healthy, and probably Staumont. Those guys are all great in high leverage. They're fantastic in it. And then it has, you know, some just arms, you know, Holland and Davis and Santana and Junis, I think, could become a leverage guy. They're just bodies at this point. If your starter is only going 4 innings, not getting through the 4th inning, you can't have your slappies go out there and try to push through until it's high leverage time. You can't ask Wade Davis, who's washed, hey, I got to get 2 innings out of you today, and I got to have you shut down the opponent because we're hoping after you we can bring in Staumont to really lock it down. That's asking too much. No bullpen in baseball has 7 high leverage guys. The Royals are no different. The problem is the guys that are just, hey, we're up 4-0, don't hurt us in this inning, are being asked to go and do high leverage moments because the starting pitching has failed at every turn. So like I said, HUD's right. Slap some hits together, get some offense going. That's all fine and dandy. But you can't lose games to the Tigers 8-7. You can't score 7 against the woeful Tigers and lose that game. That's unacceptable. Starting pitching has to be better.
913-576-7610. We'll talk about this losing streak in September and think, what if? That's the story of Royals baseball. That text is the story of Royals baseball. The Royals will probably go on to win 75 games this year. They'll get hot in September when we're all watching football. They'll win 11 of their last 13. We'll think, what if? And you'll point back to one stretch in 1 week of Royals baseball that if they could have just tread water, they would have been in contention. That's 100% what's going to happen. I'm not throwing the Royals away in terms of their abilities to still get to the finish line and be close to what we projected. I saw right now FanGraphs has their win expectation at 76 games. 76 games to be a step in the right direction for this organization. Based on what they did in 2018 and 2019, how do you get to the 76? Are they very blah and get hot in September again? And then we talk ourselves into all offseason about how great the time was at the very, very end? So we'll see what happens. Like, we'll see how quickly the Royals can get themselves out of this funk. But what you just described, sir, is that's the Royals last 15 years. You'll think back to one stretch or one thing that happened, and if they could have changed it, it would have been a drastically different outcome. Last year, if the Royals were just competitive against the White Sox, they're a 500 team. If the Royals were just competitive against the White Sox, they finish, what, 2 games under 500 in a 60-game season? And we'd be patting this organization on the back for that last year and calling it a wild success. Coming up in a little bit, I got a question to ask you guys about the Chiefs Week 1 game. Speaking of Week 1, I don't ever want the Chiefs to play a noon game. Ever, under any circumstance. Now, my reasoning maybe is a little different than you guys' reasoning. Some of you guys like to tailgate. I get it. You pack up the smoker, maybe go pick yourself up a tray from Gates, You get your lawn chairs, you get your ladder golf and your bags, and you're out there at the game. And you're out there in the sun and the fun, and you're celebrating football. For the rest of us, I'm at home, binging on Red Zone. I mean, from 12 o'clock, whenever Scott Hansen or Andrew signs on, until it's over, I'm locked in on the Red Zone. So you're telling me for week one, the football gods have given me 9 games at noon on week one, 9. And then they gave me a 3:25 game for the Chiefs. This is a win-win for us all, is it not? If you're going out to tailgate, you'll get your full 6 to 7 hours of tailgate. I hope you smoke all the meats to your heart's content. I hope you got your 30-pack of Natty Light. I hope you got your Zubazes dry cleaned. And I want you to have a ball. But while I'm at the crib with that presidential platter and I get 3.5 hours of uninterrupted Red Zone, I can thank Roger Goodell for this. Thanks, Rog. You haven't done a lot for me. But I thank you and I appreciate you for building the schedule. We also get the ability to watch Los Angeles and Denver and not be interrupted by the Chiefs. And we get the ability to watch Oakland or Las Vegas on Monday Night Football. This is the schedule I would create every week. I wish the Chiefs always played at 3:25 Sunday night or Monday night. Every single week, that's what I wish they played. I hate the noon games. I hope they never play a game Sundays at noon, or you minimize them as much as you can. This schedule is perfect. Thank you, NFL. Coming up, I've got a question to ask you guys about the schedule and regarding the game against the Green Bay Packers. And I got a toss-up question regarding what's the better tailgate game? Is it 3:25 like they have for week one, or would you rather have Sunday Night Football? That's next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, there are two national crises going on. We'll discuss both of them with the proper respect that they deserve. There's two major issues going on right now in this country that need to be addressed, and we'll talk about it coming up here in about 15 minutes. I need you guys' help on this, 913-576-7610. Spec always says to not ask a question you don't know the answer to. I don't know the answer to either one of these questions, but I think they're good questions. I'm not really a ticket-buying guy anymore. I don't say that as like a boastful kind of way, but due to the job, Chiefs games just aren't anything that I have to purchase tickets for anymore at this point. There are certainly things that I do, but that's just not one of them. But if I was the Chiefs fan that only goes to one or two games a year, I'm not going to get the season ticket package. I'm not even going to get the half season ticket package. I'm going to buy 2 single game tickets. Maybe you got family coming in town for a certain week, so you want to see the Giants game because you got your dad or your uncle coming in from New York and you want to take them to a game. But I'm saying is right now you look at the entire Chiefs schedule and the games that they have at home and you're thinking, all right, what one game do I want to go to? That game would have been the Green Bay Packers game, right? I mean, that's the best team on their schedule. It's the best quarterback on their schedule. It's the best home game that's on the schedule. I mean, right now their home schedule is Denver, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Buffalo, Cleveland, Dallas, the Giants, Pittsburgh, and Green Bay. Now, I expect the Green Bay, or I assume that the Pittsburgh game is going to be big. National fan base, we know that they travel well, and there's enough Steeler fans around the country that that's going to be a hot ticket. But that's not a game that I'm super looking forward to. I don't really know how good Pittsburgh is going to be this year. I could see Pittsburgh missing the playoffs. I think it's more likely Pittsburgh misses the playoffs this year than wins their division, is how down I am on Pittsburgh. The games in the division, those come around every year. So if you don't see Herbert this year, you'll see him next year. No one's clamoring to go see Derek Carr or Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock. Buffalo, saw them in the AFC Championship game. That could be a Sunday night game, so maybe that's the game that you have circled on the schedule, but I think the game that you really want to go to is the one against the Green Bay Packers. What do you do now? 913-576-7610. What do you do? Rob, what would you do in this scenario? Because I wouldn't buy tickets. I would not have any interest in buying tickets for that game now. I'll get my Buffalo tickets. When the schedule comes out, if the Broncos are playing around Christmas time, I'd be interested in going to that game. But with the uncertainty right now at the quarterback situation for Green Bay, I'd be willing to spend more of a premium in October to find out or know 100% what the outcome of their quarterback situation is going to be prior to me spending the big bucks to go to it, hoping that Rodgers is going to be there.
So I agree with you. I would not spend my dollars on the Packers game, not knowing Aaron Rodgers, and no offense to Jordan Love, but no interest going to seeing him live. But I'll tell you something, because I know how the text line works. I know how Chiefs fans work. I know how Twitter works. If you're the fan who is scheduling to go to one game this year, and you're like, I want to go to one game, and you're going to the Packer game, but now Rodgers' uncertainty lends you to go into the Bills game, or the Browns game, or a Broncos game, or whatever, the Giants game, whatever your choice of new game to go to. If you are that person who said, nah, I don't want to do the Packers game because of uncertainty, when Packers fans inevitably come in here and take over Arrowhead, because we know that's happening, right? That's a foregone conclusion. And you hear the Go Pack Go conversation, that guy, the guy who said, nah, I'm not going to that one because of the uncertainty, cannot be the same guy on the text line saying, where are our fans? Where are the Chiefs fans to drown out Packer fans? So I agree with you. Me, I would not spend my money in the Packer game knowing I might not get Aaron Rodgers, but I'm also not going to turn around and say, well, why did Packer fans buy up all these tickets? Well, because Chiefs fans didn't. That's just how the game is played. Because I know Chiefs fans on whatever, I guess it'd be week 9, on the Monday after week 9, I know what the text line's going to look like. Why don't you talk about all the Packer fans that were there?
I actually don't know if that's going to happen this year, though. I don't know if it's going to happen for this year. I think because of last season and not being able to go to games, I think in some places it's going to be more of a sense of urgency to go out and buy tickets. You're right. In Vegas, for example, that's always going to be a commuter stadium where when Kansas City comes to town, when Dallas comes to town, there's going to be those fan bases that take over that stadium. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year with Chiefs fans because you didn't get the opportunity to go. Like, sure, some people went last year. Some people wanted to go but couldn't because of health reasons or whatever happened. I don't know if it's going to be to the extent that it is in a normal season. Like, we've seen Minnesota fans come down and absolutely take over. I also don't know if Rodgers isn't playing, do we think Packers fans are having the same buzz to see what could be the worst season they've had in 20 years? If they have Jordan Love as their starting quarterback, this is not going to be some marquee 325 CBS or gets flexed to Sunday night game. This is going to be a noon game. That's what it's going to be. If Jordan Love is the starting quarterback for this game, there ain't going to be no fanfare. It's going to be a conversation about what if. It's going to be a conversation about, well, what could have been. And maybe you get Rodgers because he goes to the Broncos. You get a chance to see him two times this year, home and road. But if Jordan Love is the starting quarterback, there ain't going to be no Packers takeover for any stadium this year, because why would you take over to watch Jordan Love go 5-12 this year for you? There ain't no takeover this year.
I'm not high on Jordan Love, but I'm pretty high on Matt LaFleur, because I think so far so good on all the Kyle Shanahan disciples. Kyle Shanahan made Jimmy Garoppolo Super Bowl quarterback. It wouldn't stun me if Matt LaFleur makes Jordan Love a competent NFL quarterback. And that's a 6-3 Packers team against a 7-2 Chiefs team. Although the Packers record is fraudulent, they still get the buzz and excitement, and Packers fans still come down because Packers fans are still, in fact, Packers fans.
Coming up in a little bit, there's two national crises going on that we need to discuss, and it needs urgent care that only the Drive can provide. I also want to know from the text line, 913-576-7610, what's the better tailgate? Is it 325 on Sunday? Or is it Monday Night Football? So Monday Night Football, in theory, you get a day, but you also got to take a day off work to really get that day. Now, I know you got sick days and vacation days, but it's something about having that fun. They play at 325. You get home, let's say, around 8 o'clock, give or take. You can watch the end of Sunday Night Football. You have yourself a good dinner. And then you go to sleep and you start the week refreshed. You saw the Chiefs win a big Sunday game. You're feeling good going into work. I've only tailgated probably two times in my life. I've just never been tailgate guy. Nothing wrong with it. A, I've never wanted to be at the stadium that early. And B, I've always wanted to watch the other game. So why would I spend 6 hours to then prepare to only watch one game? So I've never been tailgate guy. I would pick the 325 because, all right, hey, I'm going to commit to only really following the Chiefs against the Packers today. I'm not really going to get a chance to sit and watch Red Zone and follow all the other games. So let me just be completely immersed in it. I'll wake up a little earlier than normal. I'll get to the stadium around 9, 10 o'clock. We give ourselves a solid 4 or 5 hours of just hanging out and kicking it. I would pick the 325. I want to know from you guys, toss up, 913-576-7610. What's the better tailgate? Is it the Monday? Because I'm guessing on Monday you get more time to prepare. Like, I don't know what time they open on Mondays, but it seems like they open up at like noon for y'all to go out there and eat all your smoked meats. Or is it the Sunday 325? I ain't going to lie to you. I love when they play the Sunday 325. It just packages so nicely for the show. I'm not going to lie to you. The Monday, you really got to stretch that content for that extra day. I mean, I like when they're on Monday Night Football, but I don't like it. You know what I mean? But I love when they play that Sunday at 325. Those are the games that get you guys the most excited. They're the most convenient for my schedule. I'm selfish in that way. Do what's most convenient for me in the show. 325 on Sunday. That would always be the most convenient for me. 913-576-7610. Which tailgate situation do you like better? Is it the Sunday at 325 or is it Monday Night Football? We'll give you your answers coming up on the other side. Plus, there are two national crises that are going on that need to be discussed. I'll tell you what they are. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We asked the question, what's the better tailgate? Is it 325 or is it Monday Night Football? Someone on the text line, 913-576-7610, said, let's get real. For Monday Night Football tailgates, you need to take off 2 days to make the most of it. If you're taking off 2 days for the football tailgate, you got a problem, my G. An absolute problem. Like, I don't know what else to say. One, understandable. Everybody's allowed to take 1 day, right? You got something to do, or you're going somewhere. One is acceptable. But if the Chiefs play on Monday and you got to take Tuesday and Wednesday off to recover from the Monday turn up, something's wrong. You love football more than I love football. Yesterday, we had on Tom Bahali, and he's saying that you guys just have a level of fandom that he doesn't possess. He's like, I would never stand outside in the cold to watch me play. I feel the same way. That's just a level of fandom I don't have toward anything or really anybody. Coming up in a little bit, Pete Sweeney will join us in studio. I would take off 2 days for Pete, though. That's how important Pete is. I take off 2 days for Pete. Pete Sweeney will be in studio coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some Chiefs schedule with him. The Chiefs, week one, they play the Cleveland Browns. We also know some of their schedule, but I'm not going to bore you with all the details. All you need to know is they play the Browns in week one, and we'll find out the whole schedule tonight. So there's two very serious crises going on right now in this country that we need to talk about and discuss. And I don't think there's anybody in this town more equipped to talk about these two things outside of me. The first one, we're running low on Chick-fil-A sauce. Hold on. Rob muted my computer.
According to a report from CNN, the latest product to be hit with supply chain issues, Chick-fil-A sauce. The company said today supply chain issues across the entire industry have resulted in a shortage of some items, including the coveted sauces. In response, Chick-fil-A is only giving customers one dipping sauce per item ordered at many of its 2,600 U.S. restaurants. They say they're working to fix the issue as quickly as possible. For 610 Sports Radio, I'm Sam Stevie.
What's going on here? Come on now, Chick-fil-A. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. I love dipping the Chick-fil-A fries in the sauce. I love putting the sauce on my sandwich. I love dipping my nuggets or my chicken strips. Come on now, Chick-fil-A. Now ain't the time to be cutting back. We're just getting on the other side of this Rona here. This should be a time to celebrate. This shouldn't be a time to do these sort of things. What needs to happen here? Do you guys need to drop one item from the menu to make this work here? You can't be rationing the sauce. That's what makes Chick-fil-A Chick-fil-A is they don't do this. Other fast food restaurants, right now, go to McDonald's and ask for multiple sweet and sour sauces or barbecue sauces, and they'll look at you like you asked them to give you an extra apple pie. Today, take you and your kids, get your little one, and go get her a Happy Meal. And when you ask for, can you have extra barbecue sauce, they'll look at you like you asked for a second Happy Meal, and they'll try to charge you $3 for a barbecue sauce container. It's nuts. Chick-fil-A would never do this. This is a problem that we need to solve. This is a crisis. If we were doing a condiment draft, Chick-fil-A sauce is the number one overall pick. Yes, it's the number one overall pick. Rob, no, don't look at me like that. Rob, you know if we did a condiment draft, you could have your Heinz ketchup or your French's mustard or your Grey Poupon or your A1 steak sauce. Chick-fil-A sauce is the GOAT condiment. You remember that story about the land of milk and honey? They left out Chick-fil-A sauce was also available in the land of milk and honey. This is a serious national crisis. Who do we need to talk to? Do we got to write a letter to Congress? Do we have to go higher up than that? What do we need to do to make sure that you can get as much Chick-fil-A sauce as you need, Rob?
First off, it would be 1-1 in a condiment draft. We all know 1-1. Is Whataburger's spicy ketchup. That's 1-1. That's 1-1 with a bullet. 2, this is not going to shock you. I don't get the Chick-fil-A sauce when I go to Chick-fil-A. So this doesn't affect me in the least. This doesn't move me. I'm not concerned. I'm not upset about this. I understand people are and I feel for them. But me, myself, when I go to Chick-fil-A, I get my nuggets, I get my buffalo sauce, and I get my ranch. And that's how I do my Chick-fil-A experience. And I feel bad for people who don't have the Chick-fil-A sauce. But you know what they do at Walmart and at Target and probably Costco and probably Sam's Club? They sell it in bottles now. So, yes.
They need to stop selling it in bottles and make sure that it's enough in the store. You see how, oddly enough, right when they decided to get greedy and now sell it in the stores, they don't have enough at their actual store.
Just go to Costco.
That's what they need to do. They need to make sure. How can they be running low of Chick-fil-A sauce at Chick-fil-A? I don't care if Walmart has it. They need to make sure that Chick-fil-A has enough sauce is what they need to figure out. So that's the number one crisis that we need to figure out. People on the text line, Chick-fil-A is overrated. Why are you talking about this? Bro, why does the text line just like to make me angry? I have not done anything to the text line.
That's a very brave but very correct take.
It's wrong.
Texter.
It's incorrect.
Guy who says Kane's
it's
better.
False.
I respect that.
It's a lie. It's not true.
Come on now. Now, if America was losing Kane sauce, I'd be at DEFCON 5 or whatever the highest one is.
Yeah, fake Chick-fil-A sauce is what it is. Always say Chick-fil-A sauce. Raising Cane's the hell out of here. There's another crisis going on right now.
After a cyber attack resulted in the shutdown of a 5,500-mile pipeline that supplies more than 100 million gallons of gasoline products to the East Coast each day, shortages are starting to spread across eastern states. According to a report from Fox Business, the national average of gas prices topped $3 per gallon today, the highest it's been since 2014. Experts are calling it more of a supply chain issue than a shortage, but that isn't stopping people from hoarding fuel in those states. Colonial Pipeline says it's working to get the pipeline back up and running as soon as possible. For 610 Sports Radio, I'm Sam Stevie.
I don't remember what year it was. I know the text line will remember. There was one summer where you had to make a life and death decision to go to the movies or go to the mall. Like, it was so hot that summer, and gas was like $4.90 a gallon. It was like the purge at Quick Trip when you were trying to pump gas. When you put gas in your car and it was $72, I mean, you had to make real life and death decisions. And you just didn't go anywhere. Like, how can you have fun if gas is $5 a gallon? It was the most miserable thing ever. That's not really what I want to talk about. Are people more dumb now than they've ever been before? Or is it just social media and now everybody has a camera so we can just see more dumb things than ever? I saw a video, and Rob, we can post this video. I kid you not. There was a guy at a gas station, and he had a regular plastic bag. Like the plastic bag you would get if you go to a convenience store or a Chinese restaurant, and he was pumping gas into the plastic bag. Not a gas canister. This wasn't like one of those big plastic tubes like on season one of Breaking Bad. A regular plastic bag. Number one, I don't know how anybody thinks that's a really good idea. And two, I just wonder now if people are dumber than they've ever been before, because that is maybe the dumbest idea I've ever seen in my entire life. Or now we just have a camera. So you know how it used to be back in the 90s or 2000s where you would see some really wild stuff and then you try to tell somebody the story and then you would say, well, it was funny, but you just had to be there. Now, you can be there for these things. If somebody just spazzes out and starts yelling at a customer at Bed Bath & Beyond, you can just videotape it. You never could do that before. And you can videotape it and put it in 4K and slow-mo. You can do some really cool stuff. I really wonder if people are dumber now or we just have phones all in our pocket that have these high-definition cameras that we can just see how stupid people are at a pace that we could never see it before. Coming up at the top of the hour, Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, the most popular Chiefs website on all the internet, joins us in studio. The Chiefs schedule is leaking week one. They will take on the Cleveland Browns. We'll get Pete's thoughts on it next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.